Oh, come on. It's okay to open your mouth and give him a worthy praise. We exalt your name, Jesus. We magnify your name. You and you alone are worthy to be praised. You and you alone are worthy to be lifted up. Amen. What an awesome presence of God. I like what I feel in this house. God is here, and he's here for a reason. Your Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I take that personally as a preacher. Every time I get behind this pulpit, it becomes my prayer, my expectation that somebody's level of faith is going to be increased in a tangible way. I'm not here just to preach somebody happy. I'm here today for somebody's level of faith to be lifted in a tangible way, for somebody to walk out of this building in this day a little bit more convinced that God is who he says he is, and that God can do whatever he says he can do, and that you are what God says you are, and that no matter what it looks like and no matter what anybody else says, that you'll be able to do everything that God says you can do. My God, I feel faith in this house today. I feel a revival spirit in this house today. I feel a resurrection power in this house today. I feel a spirit of personal revival that somebody's going to walk out of this building with a victory that you didn't even realize you needed. That somebody's going to walk out of this building with a lifting that you didn't even recognize you needed. That God is going to turn some things around and God is going to work some things out. You might as well act like you believe it this morning. I wish that somebody would just have enough faith to act like you believe that the enemy is already defeated. I'm not talking about victory ahead, but I'm talking about victory right now in this service, a breakthrough right now in this service, an answer right now in this service. My God, there's resurrection power. There's a reviving spirit in this house. And I believe that's what God wants me to talk about here today, about personal revival. I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Kyle, great people of God, great friends, consistent people of God, faithful to the work of God, faithful to the kingdom around the world. It's just an honor to be in the presence of such great people of God, the leadership of this church and some of the wonderful people who I'm starting to recognize now. I've been here before, and great people. Appreciate the kind words about my family, my father, my mother. They send their greetings here. They're overseas right now, but they do send their greetings here. But I do believe there is a word from God here today. I'm not going to belabor the time. But if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, we'll start at verse 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture where Ezekiel is relaying a vision that God has given him. In Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 1, the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." See out of God. Oh, what's going to happen in this house today? The devil's already defeated. It's going to happen in this house today. Skipping down to verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And finally, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. What a powerful metamorphosis we just read here today. A powerful metamorphosis from a pile of bones scattered, things missing, things eaten away with time, I think ravaged by time and no doubt by the beasts of the field, to come back together, but not just to come back together, but to come back together as an army. And not even just as an army, but as a great army. And not even just as a great army, but an exceedingly great army, from a pile of scattered bones to an exceedingly great army. I believe that God desires to revive somebody personally in this house today. And for the next few minutes from these scriptures that I read, I'm going to preach to you on the two laws of revival, two principles, two precepts that these scriptures illustrate. And it's my prayer that somebody would grab a hold of this, two laws of revival. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we thank you once again for your anointing that we feel in this house. I ask you right now for these next few minutes, God, to anoint my lips, anoint my mind, anoint my spirit. Give me your words to speak to your people right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every spiritual hindrance. We bind every spiritual obstacle. God, let your anointing rest, rule, and reign in this tabernacle from the front to the back of this room. I ask you right now to anoint this word to become a living word that will take root in our hearts and in our minds and produce life in the days and the weeks and the months to come. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Personal revival has become one of my great passions, Pastor Kyle. It's something that I preach about and talk about and teach about probably more than any other subject, personal revival. I believe I've become so passionate about personal revival here over the last few years because as I travel across the nation and as I find myself in churches all across the country, churches all across the fellowship, I see such a great need for personal revival. I believe that's where my passion comes from because as I meet people, even pastors, even leaders, even people walking with God for decades, I see such a need for personal revival because it seems to me like the minds and the spirits of the people of God are under attack now in ways that we have never seen before. It seems to me that even in the house of God that we're fighting off depression now like we've never fought off depression, and we're fighting off confusion of mind and confusion of spirit now like we've never seen before, and we're fighting off disillusionment now and discouragement now like we've never seen before. There's a very definite attack against the minds and the spirits of the people of God. So I've become passionate about personal revival. But I like what the psalmist David says in Psalms 138, verse 7. David says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now, I don't know what that does for you this morning, but it gives me a great deal of comfort to know that you serve a God and I serve a God who is able and who is willing to revive even in the middle of trouble. And even if I'm surrounded by darkness and confusion, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I have a God and you have a God who is able and who is willing to breathe new life whenever new life is needed. A God who's not discouraged by discouragement. A God who's not defeated by defeat. A God who's not confused by confusion, but he's able to revive. I'm glad to know that I serve a God who's committed to personal revival. But what I like about this is that David knew what he was talking about when he talked about God being a God who was able to revive. Because by this point in David's life, David had a personal testimony. David could look back over his own life, and David could recognize that if it was not for personal revival, he would have lived and died as a young man who started off as a champion. His story would have been the story of a young man who started off defeating lions and bears and giants, a young man who was a national hero, but David would have died as a murderer and as an adulterer. But because of personal revival, David was able to live and to die as a man after God's own heart. When David says that God is able to revive, David knows what he's talking about. David has experienced the ability of God to breathe all over again. You study your Bible and you recognize that the Bible is a book of revival. If not for revival, the story of Samson would have been the story of a young champion who started off doing great things for God, a young champion who started off full of promise and full of purpose, but he would have died as a slave. He would have died as a laughing stock. He would have died as something that people pointed at and laughed at, but because of personal revival, he was able to kill more on the other side of his greatest failure. If not for personal revival, the story of Jonah would have been the story of a preacher who ran away from his calling, a preacher who ran away from the purpose and the plan of God. But because of personal revival, he had the greatest revival in his ministry on the other side of his greatest failure. I don't know who God has me here to talk to today. I don't know who God has me here to encourage today, but I want to let somebody know that God is able and willing to revive when revival is needed. Oh, I feel a revival spirit in this house. I feel a revival spirit. What I'm saying, church, is that revival is one of the most important concepts in our Christian walk. It's one of the greatest rights that you and I have as believers, the ability to revive. But the problem is, Pastor, that many times I believe it's an underappreciated part of our Christian walk, because too many times when we look at revival, or too many times when we think about revival, we only think about revival in the corporate sense. We only think about revival as an entire body. So we have wonderful services where the church comes together and the church has a time of revival. And I'm glad for corporate revival. I'm glad for revival movements. I'm glad when God revives the entire church. I'm glad when God breathes on the entire church again. I'm glad when there's citywide revival movements. But what I'm preaching here today is that revival is all of those things, but so much more. What I'm preaching here today is that personal revival should be and can be a very real part of your life. I've come to ask somebody, when was the last time you took a look in the spiritual mirror and looked at your own self and addressed the things in your life that you used to feel, the things in your life that you used to see, the things in your life that you used to desire? When was the last time you took a look in the spiritual mirror and says, wait a minute, I don't see the joy that I used to see. Wait a minute, I don't feel the peace that I used to feel. Wait a minute, I don't have the passion that I used to have. Something has happened. Something has taken those things out of my life. Let me remind you, church, that we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual fight. We have a very real enemy. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat that. The Bible lets us know that we're in a fight. We have a very real enemy. And in this battle, just like in any other battle, there's always the risk of injury and the risk of death. It's just a very real part of the spiritual battle, that there's always the risk of injury and the risk of death. Sometimes in this fight, it's the entire spirit man that gets killed. So you look around this sanctuary, and there are people who used to be here, people who used to walk with God, but now they have no relationship with God at all because the entire spirit man has been killed in the battle. It's a sad thing when that happens, but I'm glad to know that even in those situations, that God is able and willing to revive the entire spirit man. But church, it's not always the entire spirit man that gets killed in the battle. Sometimes you're still in the house of God. Sometimes you still have a relationship with God. Sometimes you still have a desire to be in the things of God, and you're still in the church. The entire spirit man hasn't been killed, but sometimes it's just a certain aspect of the spirit man that you've lost in the battle. So sometimes, like I said, it's just your joy that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your peace that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your passion that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your burden that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your love for others that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your vision that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your enthusiasm that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your confidence in God that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your confidence in yourself that you lose in the battle. Sometimes it's just your ministry and your calling that you lose in the battle. But I've come to preach to somebody, it doesn't matter what you've lost, it doesn't matter when you lost it. Personal revival is the answer. God is able and God is willing to breathe new life. How many of us have learned how to live without our joy? We've lost our joy, and we forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we try to live this life, and we try to fight this fight without the joy of the Lord. I've come to tell somebody that the devil is a liar. You don't have to take one more step without the joy of God being revived and resurrected in your spirit. How many of us have lost our peace in the battle, and we can barely go to bed at night? We can barely wake up in the morning. We're trying to walk this walk and live this life without the peace of God. How many of us, church, have lost our passion in the battle, and we still do a work for God, Pastor Kyle? We're still faithful to God, but now we do it out of duty and obligation. We do it now because we're committed to it, but we've lost the passion that got us involved in the first place. We've lost the passion that motivated us in the first place. We've lost the passion that compelled us to do a work for God in the first place. And now we're faithful only because we've committed ourselves. But revival is the mechanism that God uses to bring everything and anything back to life. You see, I became passionate about this, Pastor, when I had a personal revelation in my spirit that I began to recognize that if I could understand personal revival the way that I'm preaching it, if I could understand that I have the right and the ability to bring things back into existence should the enemy cut it off, I begin to recognize that makes me somewhat indestructible. I become almost like a superhero. That how can I lose a battle where if the enemy should land a blow, and should he happen to land a blow today and cut my joy off, I get in my prayer closet and I don't come out until the joy of God is ruling in my life again. How can I lose a battle if he should land a blow and cut my ministry off from under me? I get to my place in God where I say I refuse to take another step without the calling of God in my life. My God, how can I lose a battle if he should happen to land a blow? You become something like a starfish, Pastor. They say you cut the arm off of a starfish. You just give it long enough and it'll grow right back to the way it was. I hope that somebody gets a revelation of what I'm preaching here today, where you can confuse the enemy, where he can cut your arms off today and come back tomorrow expecting to finish a job. Come back tomorrow expecting to cut your head off. But he can be confused when he shows up because you don't look like what you've been through. You don't look like the battles that you've already lost. You don't look like what the enemy has already done in your life. Oh, you've got the ability to revive. You've got the ability to come all the way back. See out of it. Yes, God. Revival is the answer. Revival is the answer. Personal revival is the answer. But there are two simple laws. There are two simple laws that I believe you must understand two concepts, two precepts that you have to be able to hold on to if this kind of radical revival is going to take place. And we see these two laws illustrated in the passage that I just read. Ezekiel says that God took him up and God showed him a valley full of dry bones. The Bible says that they were very dry. And then the Bible says that God took Ezekiel all around, almost as if God wanted to make sure Ezekiel saw just how hopeless the situation was. He wanted to make sure that Ezekiel had a complete understanding and a complete appreciation for just how dead and just how dry the situation was. And then after God let Ezekiel see all that, God asked Ezekiel a very simple question. This question speaks directly to what I call the first law of revival, the first hurdle that you have to be able to overcome, the first confidence that you have to be able to have down in your spirit for radical revival to take place. God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? This speaks directly to the first law of revival. And I want you to hear this, church. The first law of revival is very simply that if it used to live once, if it used to live once, it can live again. If it used to live once, when God gets involved, it can live again. It doesn't matter how dead it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been dead. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about the situation. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to whisper to you in the midnight hour. If it used to live once, it can live again. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus happened to walk by the procession, the funeral procession of the son of a widow woman. She was a lady who had already lost her husband, and now she lost her only son. This was going to place her at a very vulnerable place in that day and time, with no man or without her husband and without her only son. And Jesus and his followers happened to come by this funeral procession. Now, in our day and time and our custom, if so, we come across a funeral procession, that our custom is that we pull over and we allow the funeral procession to go through. But in that day and time, in that custom, what was customary at that time was if you came across a funeral procession, you were supposed to join that procession and you were supposed to accompany those people to that place of burial. That's what any other man would have done in the day and time. But I'm glad that Jesus is not like any other man. And instead of joining the funeral, Jesus lifted his voice and said, wait a minute, stop the funeral. And Jesus spoke life into that young man again. I say all that to say this. I hear the voice of Jesus speaking to somebody in this house today, somebody who's just about ready to give up on something, somebody who's just about ready to bury something and walk away, somebody who's just about ready, you're in a funeral march, you're just about ready to accept that something is dead and gone, you're just about ready to accept that something will never happen, that a dream will never happen, or a ministry will never happen, or a purpose will never be achieved. I hear the voice of Jesus speaking to somebody in this house today saying, stop the funeral. If it used to live once, when Jesus comes by, it can live again. Oh, I've come to speak faith into somebody's spirit. I've come to silence the voice of the enemy in somebody's mind and somebody's heart. It can live again. But let me just get real for a few minutes, Pastor. Because sometimes, Jesus doesn't stop you in time to stop the funeral. Sometimes there's things that we've buried years ago, things that we gave up on, things that died years ago. And that's when your ability to hold on to this first principle, this first law of revival, is going to be tested. It's going to be difficult at times to say that it can live again, and to say that with a great degree of confidence, because many times in life, things go far beyond just being dead. You see, sometimes if it's only dead, we can believe it can live again. But sometimes as we read in Ezekiel, sometimes situations go far beyond just being dead. It's been dead for so long that things are missing and things have been eaten away, and now it seems like it's impossible. That's when your faith is going to be tested. You see, I'm convinced here this morning that if God has shown Ezekiel a valley full of freshly killed soldiers, if God has shown Ezekiel a valley full of soldiers who were still put together, still bleeding from their wounds, if the only problem was they were dead, I believe Ezekiel might have had enough faith to immediately say, yes, I believe that God can bring it back to life. But by the time God showed Ezekiel the situation, it was not just dead. It was so far beyond just being dead that it's difficult to believe that even God can breathe new life into it. And you begin to wonder and begin to feel like not even God can do anything about it when it gets that far beyond just being dead. I'm thinking about Lazarus this morning. His family had faith, so they called for Jesus to heal Lazarus. But by the time Jesus showed up, Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. I'm convinced today that if Jesus had shown up 5 minutes after Lazarus had died, somebody who had seen him heal the sick, somebody who had seen him open the blinded eyes, somebody who had seen him do the miraculous, they might have had enough faith to grab Jesus by the hand and say, wait a minute, there might still be hope. Wait a minute, I believe that Jesus can do something. And somebody might have had enough faith to take Jesus to where Lazarus lay if all he was dead. But by the time Jesus showed up, so much time had passed that the first thing out of their mouth was, by now he stinketh. By now he's not just dead. By now he's so far beyond being dead that I have a hard time believing that even Jesus can do anything about it. I have a hard time believing that even Jesus can bring it back to life. So because of that, instead of taking Jesus to where Lazarus was, they try to invite Jesus in and entertain Jesus where they were. They were still willing to entertain Jesus, but nobody had enough faith to believe that there was still hope for Lazarus. So they try to bring Jesus in to where they were, but Jesus came and Jesus said, I didn't come to be entertained. I came to see about Lazarus. You might feel like it's too late for me to do anything about Lazarus, but I left and came to see about Lazarus, and it's never too late when Jesus shows up. It doesn't matter how dead it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been dead. It doesn't matter what the realities are. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I've come to tell somebody that Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly, and he's able and willing to do it no matter how dead a situation gets. My God, somebody just release your faith in this house and believe it can live again. It can live again. It might be your marriage. It can live again. It might be your passion for God. It can live again. It might be your children. It might be a lost loved one. It might be a ministry. It might be a calling. It might be a purpose. But if it used to live once, it can live again. It can live again. Oh, we're going to silence the voice of the enemy here today. If it used to live once, when Jesus gets involved, it defies all the laws of nature. It can live again. It can live again. Let's take about 10 seconds right now and just release a praise in this house. My God, I feel even now God breathing new life. Oh, my God, I feel even now God reviving. I feel even now God restoring joy. I feel even now God restoring peace. I feel even now God stirring up the gifts and the callings in somebody's life. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. It can live again. But now this brings us quickly to the second law of revival. The second precept, the second confidence that you have to have, or the second law if radical revival is going to take place. The story goes on how God then spoke to Ezekiel and told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones in the valley. Sometimes God will do that to you. God will put you in a situation where you run the risk of looking just a little bit foolish, where anybody walking by says, "What's wrong with you? Don't you see how dead and dry the situation is? You must have lost your mind thinking that you can speak life into something like this." But God made Ezekiel speak to the skeletons. Oh, my God, I wish that somebody would just have enough faith to hear the voice of God and speak. You know your situation. You know your circumstance. You know the valley situations you've been in. I wish that somebody would just have enough faith to hear the word of God and speak to your dry bones and say, "Ye shall live. Ye shall live. Ye will come back to life." My God, my God. Yes, God. But Ezekiel spoke, and then some things begin to happen. The Bible says that the bones miraculously begin to find their right place, and the bones begin to come together. That's a miracle. That's something only God could do. Supernatural act of God to bring all of those bones together again and reconstruct them. And then the Bible says something else began to happen. It says that the muscles and the sinews began to form on top of the bones. That's a second miracle. That's a recreative miracle. That's regeneration. That's God putting things back together, making things whole. That's a second miracle. Only God could do that. And then the text goes on to say then that the skin was formed on top of the muscles and the sinews. That's a third miracle. That's a cosmetic miracle. That's God making things look right again. That's three miracles, three acts of God. I want somebody to hear this here today. I'm getting to the second law of revival. So we have three miracles. Three supernatural acts of God. God putting things back together. God recreating things. And then God cosmetically making things look right again. But then the text goes on to say, but there was no breath in them. Three miracles, but no revival. Three miracles, three supernatural acts of God, but no revival. The second law of revival is as simple as it is profound. It's very simply that it's not revival until it lives again. It's not revival until it lives again. Church, I say that because too many times we get in valley situations. Too many times we lose in life. Too many times we lose things in this battle to the enemy, and then God begins to do some things together. But too many times we allow ourselves to settle for the miracles. Too many times we allow the enemy to convince us that the miracles are all that we should even hope for, all that we should expect God to be willing to do. Too many times the enemy gets in your head and says, you ought to be satisfied that God put the broken pieces back together again. The enemy might whisper, you ought to be satisfied that God restored some things in your life and made some things whole again. And you ought to be satisfied that God did some cosmetic miracles and God put the skin back together and now you look respectable again, and now you look whole again. You ought to be satisfied that your life is not the scattered mess that it used to be. And if you're not careful, the enemy will step in and he'll try to keep you right there where God has put you back together again and God has made you whole again. But he'll convince you somehow in your mind and in your spirit that that's all that God desires to do. He'll sometimes convince you that you're not worthy of having God to breathe in you again, that you're not worthy of being everything that you've ever been in the past, that you're not worthy of standing and living and fighting again. But I've come to tell somebody that there's a greater miracle that God desires to do. God doesn't just want to put you back together again, but God wants to breathe new life into you all over again. It's not revival until it lives again. My God, my God, my God. It's not revival until the heart begins to beat again. It's not revival until the blood begins to flow again. It's not revival until the fingers begin to twitch. It's not revival until you begin to crawl around and find your weapons of warfare. It's not revival until you're standing back up on your feet, until you have your sword again, until you have your shield again. It's not revival until you're everything you ever were before you got in the valley, in the first place. Sirs, that's how we get stuck in this cycle where things fall apart in our life and God puts those things back together again and we stop right there and we stay in the valley put together whole. Let me tell you, church, that a valley full of well put together dead bodies is no better than a valley full of dry bones. And if Ezekiel 37 had stopped where God performed the miracles and put those bodies back together again, if that's where the story stopped, a valley full of well put together dead bodies is only a matter of time away from once again becoming a valley full of dry bones. And that's how sometimes, if you're not careful, you find yourself in this cycle where you fall apart and then God puts you back together again, but you allow the enemy to convince you that that's where you need to stay, and you stay there until you fall apart again. You stay there until you decay again. You stay there until the bones are scattered again. I've come to preach to somebody in this house today that it's not revival until you stand up on your own two feet and you have the ability to walk out of the valley in the once and for all, until you have the ability to walk out of the valley situation once and for all and say, I'll never be back to that. I'll never be there again. I'll never do that again. I'm going to go back to my original purpose. That's what revival is. It's not revival unless it's restoring you to your original purpose. God is committed to your original identity. So if you were an exceedingly great soldier before you got in the valley in the first place, I don't care what the enemy says, God is not finished with you until you're an exceeding great soldier again. If you were a great Sunday school teacher before you got in the valley in the first place, God is not finished with you until you're restored to your walking with God and your calling in God and your purpose in God. That's what revival is, when God breathes and makes it everything it ever was, makes you feel everything you've ever felt. That's what revival is. Don't settle for the miracle. I thank God for the miracle. Somebody's got a testimony in this house. I'm no longer strung out on drugs. That's a miracle. I no longer have the addictions and the problems that I used to have. That's a miracle. I thank God God took certain things away. That's a miracle. I thank God that God put things back together. That's a miracle. I thank God that God restored relationships with my family. That's a miracle. But there is a greater miracle. My God, that's what I'm preaching to somebody here today. Don't settle for the lesser miracles. There is a greater miracle that God desires to do. And if you allow God to do it, God will do it in this service. Before you leave, God will breathe all over again. My God, I wish this story had continued. Sometimes my imagination runs away from me. I wish this story had continued to where these people now went home. The exceeding great army put back together again. I wish the story had continued to where they walked down the streets of their city, back up to their own front door, knock on their front door. I can imagine people being confused, scratching their heads, saying, wait a minute, what happened? I was there when you died. I saw you go down for the last time. I was right there when the enemy took your head off. You died in my hands. How is it possible that you now stand in front of me looking the way you looked when you left in the first place? How is it possible that you now stand in front of me looking like you're ready to go back to battle? What has happened? I know you were dead. I left you for dead. I say all that to say this, church. You can leave this building here in a few minutes in such a way that you can have people scratching their heads when they look at you. People can look at you and say, I thought for sure I heard you were dead. I was there when you went down for the last time. I was there when the enemy took your last breath. I was there when you gave up on God. I was there. I never thought I would hear you tell that testimony like that ever again. I never thought I would hear you sing that song like that ever again. I never thought I would see you get wild and witness for God like that ever again. I never thought I'd see you worship God all over the sanctuary like that ever again. I never thought I'd see you lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting like that ever again. I never thought I'd see you weep in the Shekinah glory of God like that ever again. I never thought I'd see you consumed with passion and with purpose and with power like that ever again. What has happened to you? My God. My God. My God. Oh, God is bringing somebody all the way back. God is bringing somebody all the way back. I feel even now the voice of the enemy being silenced. I feel even now the attack against minds and bodies and spirits and destinies and callings and purpose being silenced by the hand of God. In order for them to leave the valley as an exceeding great army, that means they came in as an exceeding great army. And that lets me know just a couple of things here. I'm going to be closing. That lets me know a couple of things. They went in an exceeding great army. They came out an exceeding great army. Lets me know, first of all, that even the exceeding great, even the strong and mighty, sometimes get in valley experiences and need to be revived. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a sign of being weak. It's a sign of being human. If you're not careful, you'll allow the enemy to just fill your mind with all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, even the exceedingly great sometimes get in valley experiences, and they need God to breathe into them again. They need God to revive and restore and rejuvenate. It's just a part of life. It's just a part of walking with God. And I'm glad that God is always willing and able to do that. But the second thing it lets me know, they went in an exceeding great army, and they came out an exceedingly great army. It lets me know that when true revival takes place, God restores everything. You leave with everything you came in with, but you leave with something that you can only get in the valley, and that's a testimony. Can you imagine the testimony? My God, I know I went down for the last time. I felt the life leaving me. I felt myself succumbing. I know when I took my last breath. I know when I went down for the last time. But yet and still somehow now I find myself whole and put all the way back together again. Can you imagine the testimony? Church, as a matter of fact, when something like that happens, you don't even have to give a testimony, but you become a testimony. My God, you don't even have to open your mouth, but you just walk into a room and people see you back in the fight. You just walk into a room and people see you all the way put back together again. You just walk in a room and people see the joy and the peace and the passion and the power and the anointing back in your life. And you don't even have to open your mouth, but people take one look at you and they say, yes, God is faithful. Yes, God is able. Yes, God is a redeemer. Yes, God is a reviver. Yes, God is able to keep me from falling. You become a testimony. Let's stand all over this sanctuary. Church, the soldiers in the valley, they had their lives taken from them by the enemy. They lost their lives in battle. The enemy killed them. Lazarus, on the other hand, was not killed by an enemy. Lazarus just succumbed to life. It was just life. He just got sick and died. Nobody killed him. It was just life. He lost his life to the process of life. And I say that to say this. It doesn't matter how you lose it. Doesn't matter whether you lose it in battle, whether the enemy kills it. Doesn't matter whether it's just life, just the cares of life, just situations, circumstances that take the life out of you in certain ways. It's irrelevant how you lose it. My message to somebody here very simply is that it can live again. If it used to live once, somebody release your faith in this house. If it used to live once, you're in the presence of God even now. So it can live again. It can live again. It can live again. It can live again. God can breathe again. God can move again. God can restore it again. Oh my God, let's just release a shout of praise all across the sanctuary. Oh, come on, somebody ought to shout with a voice of victory. Somebody ought to shout with a voice of praise. Somebody ought to let the enemy know, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still in the fight after everything I've been through. Oh, my God, after everything I've been through, after every valley situation I've been through, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Oh my God, God is moving. God is moving. These altars are open right now. These altars are open right now. God is breathing new life into somebody. Somebody allow God to do a supernatural work. Somebody allow God to do something lasting. Somebody allow God to revive and restore and renew something in this house. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost, breathe in this building. Holy Ghost, breathe all over the sanctuary. In the name of Jesus, we bind every attack of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, we bind every attack against minds and against spirits and against destinies and against ministries and against callings, God. Oh, come on, somebody just reach out like it's you and him this morning. Somebody reach out like it's just you and him. Somebody allow God to do everything that he wants to do in this house. Oh, come on, breathe, Holy Ghost. Breathe, Holy Ghost. Breathe, Holy Ghost. Breathe, Holy Ghost. Somebody allow him to breathe into your vision. Allow him to breathe into your dream. Allow him to breathe into your calling. Allow him to breathe into your purpose.
Scripture said it. Scripture said it. Scripture said it. It says out of your belly.
Out of your belly.
Out of your
belly.
Out of your belly.
Out of your belly.
Out of your belly. He says it's gonna flow. 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 Flow.
Scripture said it.
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 It says out of your belly.
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 It says it's gonna flow, 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 flow.
Believe on.
Come on, that's it, church. I'm coming all the way back. I'm coming all the way back. I'm coming all the way back. I'm taking my dreams back. I'm taking my purpose back. I'm taking my calling back. I'm taking my anointing back. I'm taking my joy back. I'm taking my peace back. Oh, come on, let him breathe on you. Let him breathe on you. One breath. One breath of life.
A living water.
I've got the river.
A living water.
I've got the river.
A living water.
Should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire. The Holy Ghost too, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Church was on fire, and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Oh, I've got the river,
the living water.
I've got the river,
the living water.
Said I've got the river,
the living water.
I've got the river,
the living water.
You don't believe I've been redeemed? Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water. The water was cold, chilled my body, but not my soul.
You don't believe I've been redeemed.
You don't believe
me down to the Jordan.
I gotta show you something.
I stepped in the water. The water was cold, chilled my body.
From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the
Lord,
Holy Ghost
just like
too. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
Oh, I got the river,
the living water.
Oh, I got the river,
the living water.
Oh, I got it,
the living water.
From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Spirit moving all over me.
If you don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. Chill my body, but not on my soul.
If you don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan
Stream. Come on, step
in the water was cold. Chill my body, but not my soul.
Oh, I got the river,
the living water.
Do you have the river,
the living water?
If you've got the river,
the living water,
you gotta sing about the river.
The living water.
Oh, you have the river. do. Church was on fire. The Holy Ghost too, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I felt the Spirit moving all over me. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Got the Spirit moving all over me.
Oh, I got the river.
I've
got the river.
I've
got the river.
I've
got the river. If you don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water, the water was cold. Chilled my body, but not my soul.
If you don't believe I've been redeemed,
you need to experience it for yourself today.
Stepped in the water was cold. Chilled my body, but not my soul.
What we're rejoicing about and shouting about today. Maybe you have not experienced the living water yet. Maybe you are designed to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. I got good news. It's for you today. The Holy Ghost is available for you today in the name of Jesus. Don't leave here without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You can have that river of water in you. You can have that river of water flowing through you in the name of Jesus. In case you need it, just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand if you're desired to be filled. Someone is going to come pray for you. That's it. Come on. Hallelujah. Just in case you don't understand it, the Bible says that the promise is unto you and unto your children. The only prerequisite is that you need a desire. If you have a desire to be filled today, you do not have to leave here empty and void. But God has come here to meet your need. He has come here for you to be filled in touch with his power. So right quick, we want to make sure everyone that desires to be prayed for. Brother Powell, it's me. I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for about 3 months, 3 days, or 3 hours. Whatever it is, just signify right now by raising your hand. Raising your right hand, wave it at me, throw your shoe, do something so I see your hand. Praise the name of Jesus. And by the will of God, you will be filled today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 This is a day of revival. God is reviving our hearts again, church. He's renewing our strength again, church. He's rekindling our passion and our fire for serving him. He's restoring the joy of our salvation. Hallelujah. Maybe you're saying that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost already. I've received the Holy Ghost already, but I have not yet been baptized in Jesus' name. I have not yet had my body immersed in some water. I have not yet been baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm not very sure, but the power, I can't remember what kind of method it was used. Please, right here and right now, just raise your hand. Raise your hand, wave your hand, throw a shoe, do something, let us know. Because we don't want no one to leave here today wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost, wanting to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you leave empty and void. You understand? It's for you today. It's for you. Every promise is for you today. You're not exempt. You're not excluded. God has come in to meet every single need you have. There is no need too big or too small. I'm so happy we serve a God that is in touch with his people. He's in touch with every need and desire you have. Don't think, well, it's just too small. This is just too big. Nobody is going through what I'm going through. Nobody is facing what I'm facing. Nobody is being tortured and tormented and being persecuted the way I am. Brother and sister, listen. God knows he understands. Well, the musicians are going to play some more fiery music, and we're going to dance some more and shout some more. I think God want to do a little bit more in our hearts today, church. We got time. Come on, can we have a day of jubilee, Jesse, for a few minutes? Come on. Let's just shout and praise God for a few more seconds here. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Come on, today is a day of jubilee. It's a day of revival. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of renewing. It's a day of rekindling. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it.
You hear the Savior's call, calling you to praise. Come up out of where you are to a higher place.
Leave your
burdens at the cross. There's no worries there.
For revival, first you must believe, and then you will receive. Get ready for revival.